You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about vacations. Are they good for the relationship, or do they cause stress, too much time together, too much interdependence, and lead to divorce?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, what's interesting is we're going to dig into this topic and see where we lead. Because one of the things that I always thought was interesting is the amount of vacation we have here in the United States compared to other countries.
Mm-hmm. You have data.
Got a little data. I got a daughter. Oh. Actually, I have two daughters.
And data.
Daughters. Americans get a raw deal, at least we think we do, when it comes to other countries in comparison with the amount of vacation time we get. We're way down on that list between mandatory holidays of the country and company work vacation, how much time. So let's go down this a little bit here. United Kingdom has one of the top amounts of vacation, has one of the highest amounts of vacation out of any country. The United Kingdom has approximately 37 days a year.
Oh,
a vacation.
Good.
That's a combination of 28 days. That's four weeks. That's more than 4 weeks. 28 days of leave, which if you calculate that correctly, that's almost 6 weeks, right? Times five is 30. Almost 6 weeks of leave, vacation that they can take. Plus, they have, what is that, nine days of public holidays for a total of 37 days.
I like that.
That's like half a year.
No.
It's a lot. In terms of work, it's almost 2 months. If you talk about a work days being 20 days of a month, 37 days is almost two full months of work days off. It's not bad.
Yeah.
France is next with 25 days of annual leave and holidays of 11 for a total of 36. I'm going to go back to where we are, which is all the way at the bottom of this list. We have 10 days of public holidays. Oh, the reason for this is 10 is that the United States is the only country that doesn't have mandatory leave for employees. Did you know that?
No, I don't know that.
So out of this list of countries, the United States is the only country that doesn't have a government-assigned mandatory leave doctrine, or whatever you call it, law for companies, that a company could say you get no vacation
and it's okay.
It's whatever that contract is that they have with you is okay.
So then you leave and freedom country.
You're free to work, free to come, free to go,
free to slay.
free to work every day to make those payments. So if we start at the bottom, United States being, there's only 10 typical country holidays which most companies then take for, you know, public holidays, that many people get, you know, the 2 weeks vacation and then going to 3 weeks and 4 weeks. But the United States is the only one without mandatory. So pretend there was a 2 week thing. Then we're up to 2 weeks is what, 10 days. So we're to 20 days. We're at a number about half. You know, if somebody gets 2 weeks vacation, this is about half total of what they get in other countries. And when I say other countries, the United Kingdom and France.
But this is not the holidays. How many holidays United States?
No, that's it. This is only holidays.
Oh, that's just only
this
holidays.
This is it. 10
vacation.
Public holidays. That's okay. It. Those are the only ones. These are government shutdown days, and these are what they call public holidays. Now, I don't know if companies have to take off for public holidays. You got to work. It's Thanksgiving. You have to work. Mexico comes in better with mandatory at least 6 days of annual leave for employees.
Okay.
And another 7 public holidays.
Okay.
Fourth of July,
Cinco de Mayo.
Not the 4th of July. Canada comes in with 10 minimum mandatory, mm-hmm. with, what is that, 9 public holidays. Why we're going through these numbers, I also wanted to look at divorce rates in these countries.
Okay.
So, you want to on the left here, on the left here, mm-hmm. is the divorce dates. So the United Kingdom, in this list that we said where United Kingdom was number one in the amount of holidays between, time off, paid leave, and public holidays with 37, in this list, they had the lowest divorce rate.
Okay.
So the theory that vacation leads to divorce, don't know.
I don't know, so I see. Yes.
It's up and down. But mm-hmm. but so the United Kingdom has 1.8 divorces per 1,000 people of population. Mm-hmm. The United States has 2.7 divorces. So we're almost the highest on this list. We're only second to Israel. Israel, which has 21 total days of vacation, public holidays, and annual leave, comes in very close to us at the divorce rate of 2.8 divorces per 1,000 people.
In Israel. That's interesting.
So, and the difficult part sometimes is how they take this information. If it's per 1,000 people versus is it per 1,000 couples, is it, you know, how they come up with these numbers and when they come up with these numbers. And it doesn't necessarily mean that if there's a low divorce rate that the couples are getting along fine. For instance, did you know Venezuela has a divorce rate of 0.7?
Really?
Yeah, because sometimes people just don't report it. or
never marry.
Right. It doesn't count.
We live with people without marriage, so why we need to marry?
That's helpful. Then you have low divorce rate if you don't get married.
Yeah.
One, if it's not reported, and two, if there is an actual and official marriage.
No.
So there's other things. We have another survey that's done after this, which had to change the way it took its survey because it assumed some things, and then after going through a first round of the survey, had to change things.
And you know what? I think that, I don't know, it's my own view, but I believe in United States people marry, and also the benefit for taxes is important. So mm-hmm. I guess this is the reason. In Venezuela, the taxes is not relating to marriage.
So no benefit to get married.
Any benefit you married or single. So the people, most people they know, they start to live together and have a child.
One of my friends was really angry. He was mm-hmm. single, and he's like, why do I have to pay more tax than a couple? Why do they get money to have kids? Why do I have to pay for their kids? You know, like, and so he was so, and you think about it, and it's like, oh, that's so selfish. You should be helping other people have kids. No, should you? I don't know. I know a lot of people do help other people have kids, but that's all the affairs.
Yeah. Because other people take care of the kids, so that's easy.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Why not? So the marriage penalty, or the opposite of it, is the mm-hmm. penalty to be single in the United States. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen happen over the years is we've opened up a little bit more in vacation. We've opened up a little bit more in employee support. So there's more time off for various things. There's now FMLA. There's things going on in the United States that years ago didn't have.
Assistance support, that, yeah.
I mean, you know, 40 years ago, you'd have a kid and go back to work the next day. Maybe even the same day if things happened. Okay, it wasn't that quick. But there wasn't, like, people wouldn't take, you know, the 6 months. Now there are people with 6 months off in order to raise the child, get acclimated to have a path of being, you know, bringing the child into the world that is probably more intelligent and less harsh. So those things are good, softening. But going from there, there was a study done, and they wanted to determine, and here's what they wanted to determine in the study, if I can get to the right page here. They wanted to determine in the study if vacations would help couples in three things. One, the hypothesis was that vacations, the shared experiences that the couples would experience in the vacations, would be directly and positively associated with the functioning of the couple. You know, are we able to function as a couple, get things done together, just generally, do we function better after a vacation? That was one. So that was the hypothesis that vacations would help. The second hypothesis of this study was the shared experiences that a couple would have during a vacation. You know, well, we go to the beach together, we go to a restaurant, we go on a roller coaster. We do things we don't typically do. We
and climb a mountain. You broke the routine.
Right.
Yeah, so that's something good for the relationship.
It is, and we'll talk about why it can be good in a minute as well. But that was that the shared experiences directly positively associated with couple flexibility. Mm. Because you're being pushed to do new things and different things in the vacation. And now, and you have to make decisions on, do we go here or do we go there? So now I'm going to either be really tough or I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to try something new. And now, you know, being open to new experiences, yeah, which is one of the five personality traits, right? Openness to new experiences. That can expand by taking vacation. Maybe even taking more vacations, as we see in other countries. And then the third hypothesis was shared experiences during the vacations is directly and positively associated with couple cohesion, sticking together, that we stay together longer. People who go on vacation more tend to stay together more.
Yeah.
And possibly, I mean, you think about that. If people go to vacation together more often, aren't those people who want? So some of these things almost seem like circular reasoning, that couples that go on vacation more together stay together longer. Couples that like each other want to go on vacation together more. Couples that like each other stay together. So, you know, is it circular?
Yeah.
You know, is it causation? Sometimes it's correlation, not causation, which is a big thing in psychology.
And also, typical when you travel, you like to share with somebody, you know, and the way that you have your good relationship with your partner and share, oh, you see the museum or you see a good restaurant and share is other important stuff. You know?
It is. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the pluses and the minuses, as discussed in Psychology Today, of going on vacation as a couple. What do you think?
Sure.
We'll be back in a minute.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She travelled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve, into their self, no room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up, tired of attracting the wrong type of guy. It was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
We're here at Inglenook at Francis Ford Coppola's new winery. Well, they've had it for a few years, but this is his library, books that he has read over the years that have accumulated in his knowledge and his ability to come up with amazing storylines, beautiful video edits, creativity of films unlike anyone else. Let's take a look at one of the books in his library. Here we have 90 Day Soulmate, How to Find Your Perfect Match in 90 Days by Lizette Guevara and James Gulnick, actually Jim Gulnick. Well, if it's good enough for Francis Ford Coppola, it's good enough for you.
welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate. We were just on vacation for a little bit,
almost.
But now we're back with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about vacations. Are they good? What are they good for? Vacation. What's it good for? Absolutely nothing. I'm sorry, that's war. That's something different. It's a different song. I was mixing up the Linda Carlisle and...
Do you know
the Go-Go's? No? You don't? Never heard of them?
No.
All right, so here we are talking about the pros of vacations.
Okay.
You're talking about couples get to do things different. Well, vacation allows you to do new things, things that you've never done before. Maybe we'll go on a zip line and we'll, in Mexico, and we'll go through the jungle on a Jeep. That you get to do novel, exciting things together as a couple. These increase the feeling of closeness because you're doing these things with a trusted partner that you've never done before. And maybe you'll try something that you wouldn't have tried, and you're with your partner when you do it. Mm-hmm. So it builds a closeness. These are engaging and exciting activities, right, that you do. Like when we went and we did our cooking experience in Spain. So we learned how to make the
paella.
It was an evening. We went to the market in Spain.
Yeah.
Oh, we shopped for some goods, and we go back and we learn how to make this dish. And it's something that we never did. Lizette's a great cook. I really just follow along. But now I got to learn with her something new that she didn't know, that I knew nothing about. And it was a great experience. And so now we think about it, and we have now our own little paella pan
and also the cooker
and a burner and so now we have this thing that we can think back on that we went to together.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great experience, and now we've brought it to our life that when we make paella here,
we link
it links all that together. It links our romantic time in Spain, it
the
links
wine.
The wine, everything, right?
Yeah.
Everything. Wonderful. This was interesting. So Field experiments. Sorry, I'm speaking quickly because this is such an exciting
subject. Because we're on vacation right now.
Oh, that's it. Field experiments where couples were asked to spend time together doing things they both found exciting, and lab experiments in which couples tried fun, new activities together have shown that these activities increase feelings of intimacy and closeness. So that's what we're talking about, that these things, very positive. The opportunities exist in vacations that may not exist when you're not on vacation, to have adventures like going to a new city, different type of city, different country, skiing, boating, zip lining we talked about, canoeing, trying out new cuisine, paella, wine, coffee, exotic drinks,
motorcycle.
Fruit. Stuff you'd never done before.
Yeah.
Riding a motorcycle cross-country in Spain in the rain, mainly on the plane with my dame.
And we survived.
And we survived.
Yeah.
So, 100 kilometers in the rain.
Yeah, and the montane.
In the montane. That's good. In the rain, on the montane, and in the plane with my dame.
Yeah.
Anyway. It was an experience. And
was dangerous.
Dangerous.
Practice first before you do that, please.
Travel creates memories, just like what we have now about our memories and the fun time we have together. And you can see how we're happy when we talk about this
stuff. Happy and scared at the same time when we felt
happy that we've made it through, that we're on the other side.
Yeah, the adrenaline,
as we slid down the mountain more than once. The recalling of these memories can increase the intimacy because it's something you share. And as we've talked about before on the show, when we discuss things and when we build new memories, we're doing it together, we actually create synapses in our brains, the neuroplasticity that allows our brains to grow.
Yeah.
We start building parts of each other in our brains. And when we do these intimate activities, it's more than just being together. It's learning about the other person. Having them being pushed and you pushed into new situations where you actually feel and see something different and new in them that you never knew existed, because this is new context, new stimuli or stimulus to see new responses by your partner that you would never have in your ordinary life, your daily life. So new challenges new places, new languages, trying to figure out how to speak a language.
Yeah.
You know, seeing my wife talk Spanish or speak the Italian or or perhaps try to get a little Portuguese, you know, that you see this and then you see the how wonderful people are around the world. And it actually not only unites you, but it can connect you to people around the world. It's pretty cool. Oh, and as I just said, you may learn something new about your partner. That even after a long time together, if you don't have a new environment, a new context, a new situation, a saliency of an experience, something that's like really savory, something that's really dangerous, something that really provokes an emotion or a new response, you wouldn't get to see it. And these things do that. Like if we decided, I took you sailing. Do you remember we were in California?
Yeah.
And I said, let's go sail on a sailboat.
And I was surprised. He said,
I know how to sail.
Yes. I said, oh, that's
I said, come sail away. Come sail away. Come sail away with me. That's what I said. Something like that. So we did. So we went sailing. The new location, activity, culture, country, weather, and the experiences of the context with new stimuli, which we just said, will pull out new and before unseen responses that you would have never seen or had been revealed in any other way. So this is how it can draw people closer together. No. On the other hand.
Okay, the dark side.
The other hand. I'm not sure which was the first hand because I need to know what the other hand is.
I don't know.
The negatives.
Mm-hmm.
It increases the opportunity for conflict. And here's some of the reasons. One, now you're spending a lot of time together.
Some moment you start to smell bad.
You're doing too much walk. So we're in Spain. We're in Barcelona, and we're leaving the hotel to go to the train station. And I go, "Follow me, Lizette. I know where I'm going." So Lizette goes, "Okay." And so we start walking and walking and walking. If you've ever been to Barcelona or just a city that you're unfamiliar with, a lot of streets, a lot of signs, a lot of stores kind of look the same. And since everybody's a tourist and everyone is walking in all sorts of directions, you have no idea where you're going, although I thought I did. So we needed to only go maybe a half mile. Walk. Yeah. It would have been a 5 mile, 6 mile walk with suitcases, backpacks.
When the street have a lot of stone.
Yeah. So we end up walking and walking and walking. And Lizette's like, let me get the phone. Let me look at the map. I know where I'm going. No. We end up about 2.5 miles away from the hotel. Finally at a different train station, you know, to get the metro from Barcelona back to the airport. Speaking about smelling, and I guess, you know, you start to the new smells. It's like when you're walking with all your stuff in your backpack for 2.5 miles instead of a half mile in Barcelona, you learn something new.
Yeah.
So I learned something new that Lizette puts up with me a lot. And she knew that already, but I had to learn that. And I now I'm very, very sorry for everything I've done. The interdependence that you have. So at home, We work in different places. Lizette may be traveling, she may be home. I go to my office, I leave early in the morning, come back. That we spend a lot of time away from each other. We travel individually. We even may eat individually depending on where we are.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of things independently when we're together, when we're at home, at working. That we have a little bit of time here and a little bit of time there to spend together, which we then have to make decisions on. And couples can have enough arguments in just having to figure out what to do on Saturday when they've got 4 hours free. We've got 4 hours free. What do you want to do? I want to do this. I want to do this. And they have conflict, but it's only a short amount of time, so they resolve the conflict and then do something. Now you're on vacation for 2 weeks. What do you want to do today? We've got 8 hours to figure it out. I want to do this. I want to do this. The conflict is intensified. If you have conflict, it can be intensified because now it's more time together, more time that you need to depend on each other, more time that you have to be with your partner in maybe their differences. Maybe Lizette likes a different food than I do. And when we're traveling during the week, she gets to eat what she wants, I get to eat what I want. Now we're on vacation and we have to agree on something.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, I eat anything except for hot, spicy food. Just know that. So
yeah.
Anything else, as long as it's edible in some country,
and
I will try it.
Other point, I guess, is when two people, and also I say for us, so when two leader try to be leader in the trouble, because typical, you need to have somebody that make a leader if you have a group. Because if you have two, is make a go to this way, no, go to this way, or when we have to do that. So maybe this creates some conflict.
So you can't have two leaders in Europe, but you can have 1 gallon in the United States. That's why they wear gallon hats in Texas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or are they 7 gallon hats? I forget what they're
nice
called.
In Plano.
In Plano, Texas. So a couple's vacation may be the perfect petri dish for conflict. You know, petri dish? The little dish where they grow organisms in the lab.
Okay.
It has nutrients, it has the right temperature, it has the right moisture content. Well, that's what a vacation may be for a couple. Mm-hmm. It can be if the couple is really good and strong and learn new things and love each other, it can make them tighter, tighter bonds, more intimate. But at the same time, if there is conflict, it can come out
with more conflict.
With more conflict. In fact, there's a teacher study, that of married teachers, where one spouse was a teacher, not they're both teachers, researchers found that couples who had high likelihoods of relationship problems, such as patterns of disrespect behavior or differences in their values. So for the couples where one was a teacher, where they did have conflict, they said that it was especially high in the summer when the teacher spouse was home more.
Mm-hmm.
So being where people do have conflict, having more time together creates more conflict. Which, I mean, it's an obvious statement.
Yeah, so it's you go to vacation or you are angry with your partner, so you have conflict. So
vacation is not only a petri dish, but it's a catalyst.
Yeah.
So if you love each other, it's a catalyst for more passion and love. And if you're having a hard time with the other, it's basically creating an environment where you see the true color of the other person. And you might say, I don't like their behavior. And now I really don't like it. I don't want to go on vacation again. Yeah. I love them as long as I'm not with them.
Exactly.
You know how that works. Travel may be stressful and exhausting, right? Which then, since you're stressed and exhausted. Oh, here was one. When you're stressed and exhausted, you tend to have more arguments. Now you're having more arguments, which means you're staying up later. You get bad rest. The next day, you're tired again, aggravated again. And it's this cycle.
Increase the cycle of your behavior. It's attitude also. So you need to, sometimes I do for myself, I want to be in vacation mood. You know, so when I see my brain and my stuff, so we have a restaurant, we pick a good glass of wine and food, and we talk and we listen to music. So it's the attitude that you enjoy the moment versus that you are sitting in the restaurant thinking or using the phone to texting somebody or thinking in your work, you know.
So what if you're not conflicted and you're not passionate, but you're just somewhere in the middle? You're kind of a little both. You're sometimes passionate and sometimes a little conflicted. What is the best things to do to plan when you go on vacation to have the best vacation possible? When we come back, we'll talk more about that on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She travelled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve, into their self. no room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up. Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
We're here at Inglenook at Francis Ford Coppola's new winery. Well, they've had it for a few years, but this is his library, books that he has read over the years that have accumulated in his knowledge and his ability to come up with amazing storylines, beautiful video edits, creativity of films unlike anyone else. Let's take a look at one of the books in his library. Here we have 90 Day Soulmate, How to Find Your Perfect Match in 90 Days by Lizette Guevara and James Gulnick, actually Jim Gulnick. Well, if it's good enough for Francis Ford Coppola, it's good enough for you.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about vacations. Are they good for you? Are they bad for you? Something a study has shown is that in March and in August during the year, those are the highest peaks in divorce rates. People going to find lawyers to try to attempt to start to get divorces. They turn out to be after summer vacation, and they turn out to be after Christmas break or holidays. That holidays and summer vacation area timeframes, when you're closer together, you have more time together, there are these peaks in spikes in divorce rates. What are some of the things we can do if we're on a vacation? And how do we plan that vacation to have the most opportunity to have a close and good relationship during that vacation?
Okay.
So here's some recommendations.
Take a note.
And by the way, these are coming from Psychology Today. If I can find where that came from, there it is. It was Gwendolyn Seidman in Psychology Day. It's called Relationships, How Vacations Can Help or Harm Your Relationship. Vacations, how can vacations help or harm your relationship? Try something new and exciting. When you're doing something new and exciting, you're spending more time on that new and exciting thing than worrying about conflict. You know, on a roller coaster, it's very difficult when you're on a roller coaster to be upset at your partner because you're so much involved in the activity. If there's tension in your relationship, choose a relaxing vacation. You'll have fewer chances of having an issue in a relaxing vacation. Make sure that the two of you agree to what you're going to do, and you're not dragging the other person along. So if you're like, oh, I really want to do this, and you're not really thinking that they like to do that, really take it down a notch. Make sure that you're both comfortable doing what you want to do. So you can put a whole list together. Like I would suggest, you put a list together of all the things you would want to do on vacation. Let them put all the things they'd want to do on vacation. You can talk about where to go, activities, food, drinks, what you're willing to do, not do. If you want to take classes, you just create this whole thing first, and then you compare the lists and you see what matches. And when you have matches, you go, aha, these are the things we should do on vacation. We both want to do them. We both want to go to that place. We both want to try these things. So put a list together and see how they match your partners.
Negotiation.
Don't exhaust yourself. Make sure you get plenty of rest. Sometimes they say why vacation is good for a couple is that it gives them time to rest and relax. That people on vacation have more sleep. They're more relaxed. It also, there's health benefits of vacations. I don't have a study here, but I was reading on this. I didn't bring it with us. People are healthier and live longer who take more vacation.
Yeah, and also some people I know, they make some kind of schedule so tight. Or we visit this museum, we go to the beach, we go this. Like that we do is one day you don't have plans, so and no time for get up, no time for breakfast. So when we get up, we take a lunch maybe, and so you know planning. So one day in the vacation, no plan can be also good.
That is good. And another suggestion is do not take your partner to a vacation spot where you went before with another partner. Oh, I was here before with my other partner and we did this, this, and this. That's go somewhere new and different that you have no memories of, because number one is you won't be remembering that old partner and it won't come back in to haunt you during this vacation. And if your partner knows you were already there with someone else, it's going to not make for a good vacation for them.
Yes.
Is that true?
True.
Finally, memories of a vacation. We talked about this earlier on. Good memories of a vacation last a long time, especially when you do something like we talked about, take a cooking course or go on a boat ride or do something you haven't done before, something that pushes you to challenge using your brain, physical activity. Do things that when you look back on, you're like, I can't believe we did that. Mm-hmm. And you did it together. And it's not only a consistent thing that you can reminisce about, you can talk about, and it's a positive memory. So it happened back here. We talk about it still today. And in the future, we can go, is it something we want to do in the future? It links. It inextricably links you as partners together.
When you see the picture, so for me, it's like they bring the memory, the feeling. So sometimes I am stuck in one airport, you know, for work, and I start switching pictures and I say, wow, and we went to Greek, for example.
I was thinking that too. Yeah, I was just thinking Athens and the Acropolis, and we've got pictures with the columns behind
broken
us.
Glasses, and glasses, place in the floor.
Opa. Yeah, there's all these wonderful things, and you don't have to go far for a vacation. You just need to do something together, interesting, fun, whether it's to the beach, whether it's to a lake, whether it's to indoor mountain climbing. You can say, we're going to go here, we're going to do that. Canoeing, camping, did a lot of camping in my life.
Yeah.
You know, mountain climbing, hiking, walking. You go to, when we went to Lisbon, we did 6 miles, 7 miles of walking up and down the streets of Lisbon, and it was physically tiring. They say don't do things exhausting that can push you to arguments, but do things exhilarating, and that was exhilarating. So
I feel like it's a good excuse for eat more food because we burn calories. So I think like that, keep going.
I'm gaining weight. I better go on vacation.
Yes. I like that.
So if you're having problems with your health, you're gaining weight, you're shorter than you used to be, go on vacation. It will make you smarter, make you better looking, and boy, you'll smell terrific. Thanks for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jen.
We'll see you next.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.